Today, we're going to look at the topic of memorials. You know, this is Memorial Weekend, and, you know, it's a time where we remember, and really that's kind of what we need to look at in our life. We're going to look at 12 stones today. I have 12 stones sitting up here on the table. And the idea that we want to see today is that memorials was God's idea. You know, that's something that really sunk into me as I was putting this message together. Is that, you know, I never thought about it, but memorials was God's idea. Now, memorials remind us of what God has done in our life, but they also remind us of what God has yet to do. I don't know about you, but I have some things in my life I know that God has yet to do. And a matter of fact is that memorials was the first thing that the children of Israel did when they crossed the River Jordan and went into the Promised Land. They set up a memorial. A memorial to God for what God has done. And the memorial was to remind them of that, how God had got them there. And I don't know if you remember how God got you here. Not maybe to this church necessarily, but got you into the place of salvation, you know, where you're walking with Christ. So as we look at this, just remember, putting up a memorial was really God's idea. We're going to start today in Joshua chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Joshua 4, 1 to 7. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, "Take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, 'Take up for yourself 12 stones out of the middle of the Jordan, and from the place where the priest's feet were standing firm, and carry them over with you, and lay them down in the lodging place where you will lodge tonight.' So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had appointed from the sons of Israel, one man from each tribe. And Joshua said to them, 'Cross again to the ark of the Lord for your God into the middle of the Jordan, and each of you take up a stone on his shoulder according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. Let this be a sign among you. So when your children ask later, saying, "What do these stones mean to you?" Then you will say to them, "Because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, when it crossed the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, so these stones shall be a memorial to the sons of Israel forever." Let's pray. Father God, we come to you in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity you've given us to come to worship today. Lord, I thank you for the anointing to be here, the anointing to break every yoke of bondage, any false concepts that we have established in our mind. Lord, I thank you also for the gift you put inside of me, Lord. I want to use it for your glory. Lord, I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate and for the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we bind Satan from stealing the word out of our heart or mind in any way, shape, or form. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so we're going to look at this story a little bit. A little backtrack. Remember, the children of Israel had been wandering in the wilderness for about 40 years because of their unbelief. And now was the day, this was the time, that God was going to take them into the place that he promised. So he told them to do this certain task because, I don't know what you'd feel like if you were one of the priests and you were carrying the Ark of the Covenant and all of a sudden you was just walking up to a river and you just had to walk out. And you had to believe that God was going to honor his word and that water was going to roll back. Well, they did that, God honored his word. And we know that's what happened. Well, then God told them to do this, to go grab these stones out where the priest had been holding the Ark of the Covenant, which was a symbol of the presence of God. And he wanted them to carry those stones. And then what's interesting, they just didn't lay them on the bank. They actually packed these stones to the place they were going to lodge tonight. And there was a reason for that, because he wanted them to remember what he had done for them that day. And that's where we're going to pick this up. So we're going to look at memorials today. We're first going to look at two different kinds of memorials. Number one is a public memorial. And number two is a private memorial. And then we're going to look at Gilgal in a second. Okay, so a public memorial is there so people will remember. Now, how many people here, I know I do, have trouble remembering things from time to time? You know, I mean, it's just amazing, isn't it? You know, I read a joke about Jim told his friend that he went to the doctor because he was having memory problems. So the friend asked, said, what did the doctor say or what did he do? And he said, well, he made me pay first, you know, because he's afraid he may not get paid. You know, how many's been down that road before? You know I like to say, and you know, I forgot more than most people know, but some of us do forget things, don't we? Forget names. I'm not as good at names. Just to be up front, I'm good at faces. Some people forget where they put the car keys. You know, that happens. How many's been on a trip and you forgot your toothbrush? You know, we've done that before. And I don't like to bring this up, but some people forget to flush the toilet, don't they? Come on, I'm just telling you. You know, how many's got somebody like that in their family maybe, you know? You know, but it's really a bummer when we forget what God has done in our life. That's what the problem is. And that's why God wanted them to put up a memorial. If you remember a little bit, I hope you've read the Old Testament. It's got a lot of good information in there. But the children of Israel, I don't know about you, I just can't believe I'd be this dense, but God had parted the Red Sea, and they went through on dry land. And then when they got over to the other side, it wasn't very long till they started complaining about God being able to provide for them. They had forgotten the miracle of the Red Sea. So I think God in his infinite wisdom, see, this is their children he's dealing with now. All those people had to die off. You know, they had to die off in the wilderness because only two made it in, and that was Joshua and Caleb. All the rest of the people of that age, they died off because of their unbelief. Well, God must have learned a little bit about people there. He knew it anyway in his heart. He knew everything that was going to happen. But, you know, he decided that, well, we don't want to make that mistake again. So let's put up a memorial so they can remember me. Remember this great feat that I've done when I rolled back the Jordan River. And that's how God wanted us to remember these things, because God does know that we forget things. And he established memorials as a way for us to remember. You know, to me, the cross is a memorial. You know, whenever I see a cross, I think about Jesus. And I think about what he's done for me and the price that he paid on my behalf to be able to set me free. I think about the blood that was shed to be able to redeem me and to be able to destroy the power of sin that is holding me back in life. See, there's a lot to the cross. Another memorial that I kind of look at is this thing on my left hand, this ring. When I see this, yeah, my wife says amen, nobody else did, right? I remember a promise I made. I made a promise. You know, back on October the 20th, not just kidding, it's October 19th, I'm kidding, messing around right now. Yeah. But anyway, I remember a promise I made to her and to God that I was going to keep my word. Now, I know divorce happens in people's life, it's not condemnation, but I'm just saying, you know, next time, you know what I'm saying? You know, let's get to the place, you know, where we can, you know, think about those things and remember that ring, you know, what that means. Also, what I do whenever I buy a Bible, I haven't bought one for a while, this one's still hanging in there, but I've always written in there, I have no past but the cross, Galatians 2:20. See, that's a memorial to me, because I knew about my old life. I knew what kind of person that I was. But then I know what happened to me the day that I met Jesus Christ and how I changed. And I don't look back past the cross to what I used to be. I look forward to what God wants me to be. Amen? You know, you shouldn't look back too much farther past the cross. Now, I know I've learned from some of my mistakes, and I can share that information with other people that maybe struggle, but for the most part, I don't live back in the past. I live in the future. Okay, so what memorials really do is that they trigger memories. Now, one memory that you and I have, especially on this weekend, Memorial Day weekend, is when we honor those in the military service who have lost their lives, those who have died. A lot of times, and I know that it happens here in our town, small flags are taken out and they're putting on the graves of the military people just as a sign and a symbol that this person served our country, and many of them paid the ultimate sacrifice, right? But I just want to throw this in there. You know, as you get older, you know, hopefully, you know, as well as I look at those flags and I see sacrifice, you know, it makes me want to also pray for wisdom for those who lead our country so that others may not have to sacrifice like that. You know what I'm saying? So there's something else we can learn from that, how important it is. Now, I do war is necessary from time to time, but that's something that we can, you know, also think about. You know, Memorial Day started back in 1868 on May the 30th, and it was after the Civil War, and they wanted to honor those who had died in that war. Now, also today, in a lot of different areas, you know, people also put flowers out on the graves of their loved ones. And when I was growing up as a kid, my great-grandma, she used to say we used to go decorate the graves. It always stuck out to me. You know, that's how she worded it. We're going to go decorate the graves. And what would happen is she had these peony bushes out in the yard, and then she would take an old coffee can. Back then, they were all tin coffee cans. And then she would wrap it in tin foil, and then she would cut these peonies, and she would put them in there, and she would take them over and place them on her husband's grave, as well as she outlived her daughter. She would put them on their graves. And I remember that growing up as a kid, a way of remembering. Sometimes you would maybe tell the stories about family members and things that happened, how maybe funny stories and many things that went on. And what God was telling us in this passage is the reason for memorials, and that's what these 12 stones are setting in front of me. It's kind of a symbol of a memorial. It's because children are going to ask some questions later. You know, how many of us here probably, you've seen the pictures, you know, maybe on Facebook and different things of the Twin Towers, and they always say never forget, right? It's just something, even though it's been a long time ago, you know, that the towers came down, many people, it's a memorial to them, you know, that they never want to forget, you know, that issue that happened, you know, on that terrible day. And we need to remind our children, especially the memorials, of what God has done in the lives of his people, in the lives of their family, and tell those stories about how God moved this way, and maybe God has done this, and I remember when God, you know, changed my life in this way, because those glorify God, and it helps us to remember. You know, them 12 stones, every time they would see them at Gilgal, the kids would ask and say, "What's that?" And they would say, "Well, that's the day that we crossed the Jordan on dry land." Now, I don't know about you. Has anybody ever told you about a miracle that God's done, and the first thing in your mind maybe was saying, "Oh, yeah? He did that?" You know, because that's your mind getting in the way of believing God's power and believing what God can really do in our life. And so those 12 stones were taken where the priest had been standing, where the miracle really kind of took place. And what they did is they would told to go out there and grab those stones. Remember, it said in the passage, remember? And they was going to hoist them stones, like these are littler stones. They was going to hoist, so they must have been fairly good sized, and they hoisted those stones up on their shoulder, and they were to take them out to where they're going to sleep that night. Well, there's different measurements of what it was, but ballpark, they had to carry those stones 2.5 miles. You know, so I don't know if them guys, when they volunteered, if they really knew that I'm going to be carrying this stone. And probably typical guys, they was probably out there looking for the biggest stone they could get. You know what I mean? Until they found out about the 2.5 mile walk. You know, and they were just saying, you know, I want to do this for God. So they did that, and it was just important to have that remembered. So they took it to Gilgal. We're going to look at Gilgal in a minute. But I want you to think right now. And some people get hung up on this. I do remember the day I got saved. And maybe you don't remember exactly, but I hope you remember the experience to some degree. But I do remember the day at 610 South Gilpin in Denver, Colorado, when I cried out to Jesus Christ and I was born again. I remember that because I had dabbled in Christianity for a while. You know what I'm saying? I went to church over a year before I got saved. I was slower than some. But when I got it, I got it. And I haven't turned back since. So, you know, kind of remember maybe some memorials in your life of what God's done. You know, maybe God set you free from something. Maybe God's intervened in your life on your behalf and has made a difference in your life. You know, you need to remember that memorial. And because what happens is that we forget our history with God, it can cloud our future with God. When we forget our history with God, it can cloud our future with God. You know, I remember, you know, some people saying, I'm not sure I'm saved, you know, and trying to counsel them through that and explaining, you know, you just need to get into the Word of God and, you know, don't let the devil lie to you and things like this, because it's so easy to forget some of these things, you know, if you don't get into the Word of God. And that's why it's important to get grounded and to stay connected to a local church. You know, I thank God for the church that God led me to. I was discipled. I grew up in the things of God. And it helped me to remain strong. You know, so I never did struggle with some of the other problems where other people did, where I went back out into the world and played. But thank God for the blood. Now, when a sinner looks at this pile of stones I have here today, they're just going to see a pile of rocks, right? But we, on the other hand, can see our Savior. You know, when I think of a memorial, you know, I see my Savior. I see what He has done in my life. And so sinners may not get it, but you know, we need to stay strong into what these memorials are in our life. Next, I want to look at Joshua chapter 4, verse 8 and 9. It says that, thus the sons of Israel did as Joshua commanded. They took up the 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, just as the Lord spoke to Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Israel. And they carried them over with them to the lodging place and put them down there. Okay, here's the key part I want to see. Then Joshua set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan at the place where the feet of the priest stood, and carried the Ark of the Covenant were standing, and they are there to this day. Okay, this is talking about a private memorial. You know, we do have public memorials, you know, different things. Some churches have memorial plaques where when people pass away, they maybe make a donation or something to the church to remember them. We have Memorial Day where we go out and decorate and we honor those who have died in the service. But I want to look at a private memorials right now. And this is what Joshua was doing. You have to think about this. The water was rolled back, but Joshua went out and he put 12 stones right there, knowing full well that when the water came back in, you couldn't see those stones anymore. That was an invisible memorial after the water came back. Nobody could see it but God. And see, I want us to know that sometimes, and hopefully many times, we have a private memorial between us and our Heavenly Father. See, for him, it was a special day. Now, I don't know about you, but Moses was the man. Moses received the Ten Commandments. Moses met with God face to face, just talked to God face to face. When Moses talked with God, he would come out as he was glowing, it just intimidated everybody. So Moses was kind of way up here, and everybody else was kind of way down here. But what happened on this day, God elevated Joshua's leadership, where people revered him just as they did Moses. So it was a special day for him. It was a day that he was leading the people into their destiny, the promised land, the place where God had prepared for this nation to go. And so it was a big day. And maybe you've had a big day in your life. Maybe God has done something great in your life, and I hope that he has. I want you to know that we need to make these private memorials between us and God, because it's important that we remember these things. And Joshua put those 12 stones out there so he could remember what God had done, because he wanted to glorify him. See, remember, only God can really see our heart. I can see your actions, you can see my actions, but God is the only one that sees our heart. And when we remember, I believe, then we recommit. Because it's a long haul, isn't it? You know, being a Christian, I've been saved over 30 years. You know, I never thought I would be here this long. I really, you know, every time you get saved, they tell you Jesus is coming, you know. So it's going to be a quick trip. It's not a quick trip all the time, is it? For some, it's a long haul. And that's all good. You know, there's people still need to hear the word. And that's fine. But we need to get to the place where we have these private memorials, because we're going to forget what God has done. I haven't written in this book for a long time. I bought a little bound booklet, you know, back years ago, and I'd write down little miracles, what God had done in my life, doors that God has opened, things that God has done, you know, and I would try to remember these things. And really, that's what the book of Psalms was about for David, a large portion of it. Just remembering how God had delivered him. Because we all need to get to the place where we renew and we refresh our commitment to God. So we can get back to that place where we're back on fire. We're back to the place where we're in deep communion and commitment and conversation with God. Because God has done something big in our life. And we need to glorify Him. I don't know about you, but I've made some promises to God. Have you? Yikes. You know, what are some of the promises we made? And then all of a sudden, you know, God knows sometimes we're not going to hold up our end, you know, but by the grace of God, we can. Amen. We can recommit and we can refire those things and things that we told God that was going to do. Now, one thing I just want to mention about memorials is the idea that we don't want the memorials to become, I guess, more than a memory and end up becoming an idol, because it can become an idol sometimes. You know, when we only glorify the past victories, we can rob God, or we can get robbed out of present and future things that God is going to do in our life. You know, a lot of the old time, you know, Pentecostals and things, oh, I remember when God moved by the Spirit here, and it's not like that no more. Well, I mean, we can keep looking back and just kind of getting all grumpy and, you know, thinking, you know, it's over, but it's not. God's moving by His Spirit. Things are happening. Sometimes we're the ones who's not seeing it. We might be on the wrong channel. Have you ever been on the wrong channel? You know, maybe your favorite show's over on this channel and you're watching this channel. You're missing out. You know, just terrible, isn't it? Thank God we can, you know, I can record 6 channels at once right now. You know, I shouldn't miss anything. When I was a kid growing up, you watch what you got. No, you watch what mom and dad said you got. You know what I'm saying? You know, I still remember this. I'm still traumatized. Because one evening, Elvis Presley was going to be on TV in a movie that night. And for some reason, my mom worked for the government in the agriculture department. She had to watch some show that was probably on Channel 11 to boot, you know what I'm saying? You know, public TV. And I could not watch that Elvis Presley movie. And I still remember that. All the kids at school were talking about how good it was, and I didn't get to see it. And reruns didn't come around back then, you know. So if you're on the wrong channel, you miss out. And I still remember that. So I want to be on the same channel with God. See, memorials should propel us forward. I don't want my children living in my memory when they could be living out their miracle. I want them to trust God. I want them. And that's why I tell them about this memorial. I say, God can do this, but I'll tell you what, God's going to do something in your life. Don't let my unbelief or my lack of faith in different areas hold you back. You take what I've taught you and you go learn more and you take it to the next level. Amen? I believe that. I believe a lot of kids can get to the next level. The last scripture I want to look at is in Joshua chapter 4, verse 19. Joshua 4, verse 19. It says, "Now the people came up from the Jordan on the 10th of the first month and camped at Gilgal on the eastern edge of Jericho." Okay, that was their meeting place, Gilgal. So the next point is get to Gilgal. Now, technically what had happened, roughly, there was a 2-week trip that ended up turning into a 40-year journey. Now, I've been lost, but I've never been that lost. So they got their 10 commandments at Mount Horeb over in that area by the Sinai, and then it should have been roughly a 2-week trip, and they kind of messed up, or big time, ended up staying out in the wilderness. So 40 years ago to this day, they had left Egypt. This was a special day anyways, kind of when they celebrated the Passover. But Gilgal, what it means wheel or rolling, and it means that their reproach had been rolled away. We're talking about a fresh start here, people. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the born-again experience. I love that word. Because that word meant so much to me when I got a fresh start. It wasn't like God tried to improve me. God made me new. And see, that's what Gilgal is all about, is when the reproach had been rolled away in their life. And what happened is that it was a time to roll back 40 years of failure. Can you imagine always waking up every day for 40 years and knowing that you're in a group that had failed God? Just failed God every day. So they were rolling back that reproach. Now, many of you probably thought that Walmart was the first one to do rollbacks, but they wasn't. God was, right? God rolled back the problems. God rolled back the reproach and the sin. And every day in the desert, as I mentioned, was a reminder of that unbelief where they couldn't go into the promised land. But today was a dawn of a new day and an end to their hopeless wandering. And I thank God for my day that I had when I could finally put that silliness aside. Could you imagine being in that group and all of a sudden you took a new turn? You know, instead of another lap or another way out into the wilderness, they took a turn. And then, because they probably knew every time they kind of were over in that area that, hey, that's where we're supposed to be, but this is where we're at. But that first day that they took that new turn, and then they started to head to the promised land. Now, hopefully you've made that turn already. And you've went into your promised land. You're starting to head that way. See, the promised land, you know, can be a symbol of many things. But, you know, I really want us each to find out exactly what it is that God wants for us to do, where God wants for us to go, and to be able to be a part of what God is doing in our life so we can be able to see change happen. And those 12 stones reminded them of God's faithfulness in their life. You know, God has brought them this far, so he can surely take them all the way. You know, that's how we got to look at the memorials in our life. God has taken us this far. God's going to bring it in. You know, I remember when the first day that we broke ground out here and just what was happening and everything that we had to do. And little did I know, you know, all the work and the things that went in on that, you know, and building this building and doing different things. You know, but I thank God now. At the time, I don't know if I was thanking him all the way. You know what I'm saying? You know, you're getting in a project here, you know, and a little different than I thought, but that's all good. Now I can see, you know, I know what God has done, and it's exciting. You know, when I walk around here and look at different things and look at all the junk, I mean, the stuff we have, I said junk almost, you know, all the different things that we've attained over the years, you know, God is so good. You just wouldn't think. You know, we have, you know, hundreds of costumes for Christmas programs. You know, if you look at two of our storage closets for all the kids, all the different things we have, and Lord knows, don't go back there. You know what I'm saying? You know, no telling what's back behind me here in this room. I mean, we've got everything stuffed in there, you know. But just seeing everything, but it's all paid for. You know, that's awesome. Glory to God. God is so good. And what happened to these people is that when they started off in that unbelief, it looked like they was going to have 40 years of punishment. But what happened is it turned around and God made it 40 years of trust, because he provided for them. Even in their unbelief, God provided for them. He provided the manna, and he provided the water so that they didn't have lack and so they could be able to be sustained in their wanderings until it was time for them to come in. And I just want you to grab a hold of that, you know, that God is sustaining you. And maybe you have maybe given up on yourself, but I want you to know that God has not given up on you. Maybe you feel that God has told you some things in your heart, and you really feel some things are going to happen. And maybe those things haven't happened yet. Don't give up. God is bringing you to your promised land. He's going to put you to the, bring you to the place and put you in the place that He promised you, and you're going to get there. You just got to keep hanging on because He's bringing you there. Sometimes all we need to do, people, is just cross our Jordan. Can you see a Jordan in your life? Can you see an obstacle? See, that river was kind of an obstacle. But God parted the water. God's going to part your problem in your life. But I think what we need to do is that we need to slow down so we don't miss our moment. Have you ever been going so fast that you missed your moment? I read a story the other day about a young man. He was an executive in a firm, I think, and he had just bought a very expensive new sports car, and he's just tooling down the street, just, you know, radio was up, just having a good time. Then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, came a brick and hit the side of his car and put a big old dent in his door. You know, here's this sports car. He slammed on the brakes and put it in reverse, and he started yelling at this boy that was on the side of the road who threw the brick. He just started screaming at him. He's so mad because his car was so expensive and he'd worked so hard to get this car. Well, the little boy was crying. He said, "Mister, I'm so sorry, but I didn't know what else to do. I was pushing my big brother in this wheelchair, and it hit the curb and he fell over and he's too big. I can't lift him up. I can't get my brother back in his wheelchair, and nobody would stop to help us." Well, the guy swallowed a big lump in his throat. And then he took a handkerchief, and after he had lifted the boy back in his chair and wiped him off and best he could. And then he went with the little boy and he pushed his brother back to the home. And then he took that walk back to his car. And as he walked back to the car, he just felt terrible. And what had happened then, when he got back to his car, is that he chose to never fix that door. He left that dent in that Jaguar to remind him not to go through life so fast that someone has to throw a brick at him to get his attention again. And I think we all could learn something from that story. You know, we as a nation have public memorials, and we're going to, you know, honor that tomorrow especially. But what about a private memorial just between you and God? You know, life can get so crazy, and it's so easy to forget. And I want to ask us, what memorial you have set up in your life to help you remember? I want to do something today. This is my memorial rock that I have for myself. But I have some rocks here in a coffee can, much like my grandma. Of course, I didn't wrap this in with tin. But I want us to come up today. I want you to think for a moment about something that God has done in your life. Then I want you to come up out of your chair. I want you to grab a rock out of the coffee can just for a moment as we wait upon the Lord. And I want you to take that rock with you and put it in a place where you're going to remember. I know what I'm going to remember with this rock. It's going on my desk. I want to give you that opportunity now to come forward. Amen. Thinking in your life about, I think we all could find something that God has done in our lives. And I want you to put this in a place where you can remember. This is not to throw at the devil. Amen. We're going to do that next week. We're going to get rocks, but no. This is something that I want us to remember. You know, because as I was thinking about this, you know, it's so easy. Life gets so fast. And we forget when God touches our life. You know, there's so many I can remember right now as I go through, you know, thinking about, you know, God just intervening and doing something great and making a change and making a difference. And I want us to remember that. So hold your stone up right now. Say, Father God, we thank you, Lord, just for your hand upon us, Lord. As we hold up these stones today, Lord, we do it because we want to remember. We never want to forget. Lord, help us also as parents and, you know, maybe grandparents here to always tell our children of the greatness of our God and how we need to turn our hearts back to Him. That God will never leave us or forsake us because Jesus is with us every step of the way. And Lord, we just thank you for your power just moving. Because Lord, as we remember what you've done, we also know that there's greater things that you're yet to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. Give somebody a hug on the way out.